Turn over first to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. One of the things that I sometimes do to my detriment is make a lot of assumptions. And one of those assumptions is that people who haven't been here all that long have been here all that long, to where they've heard a lot of things that have been taught in the past. Well, if you remember, a couple of years ago, I taught a series entitled Framing Your World. And for some people, it was, I guess, maybe a revolutionary concept because of things that we saw in the Word. You see, one of the things that the devil does not want you to believe is that you can control your circumstances. And many times Christians can get off on the deep end with this, but then on the other hand, there are a lot of Christians that seem to have the idea that whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and that's just life. That's just the way it goes. And, well, you know, God is in control. That's only true as far as we let Him be in control. Perfect example. You don't get born again until you let God work that work in you. No one gets born again because God forced them to. It has to be by choice. So, contrary to what is taught in many circles, we have the ability to limit God. Now, I'll give you an example even from the Old Testament. Remember where God was saying how that I looked for someone to stand in the gap? He said, but I couldn't find anybody so that I wouldn't destroy the land. In other words, he's saying, look, give you some background. People had sinned, judgment had been declared, and the judgment was coming. But God said, look, if somebody would just stand in the gap, if somebody would just intercede and pray on behalf of the people, then they could stave this thing off. I looked for someone who would do this, and I couldn't find anybody. And so the judgment came. And many times we want to blame God for things when it's not His fault at all. And here's the sad truth of the matter. A lot of the stuff, really, we could almost go as far as to say all of things that happen in our lives are because we've sat back and let it happen. And that's not a nice thing to think about, because it means that we have a degree of responsibility. And if we have a degree of responsibility, then we have to be responsible. Amen? Well, in that series, Framing Your World, it was taken from a verse that we're going to look at here in just a few moments. What it dealt with was the ability that we as Christians have to change circumstances in our lives so that our circumstances line up with the Word of God. We have a choice in this. We can get God involved or not. It's totally up to us. Now, here in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at the verse again. Now faith is the substance, or in the Greek, basis, foundation, subsistence, and existence of things hoped for, or of things expected with desire. The evidence, or the irrefutable truth, of things not seen. Now, here's the thing. This verse, if it weren't in the Bible, could almost be twisted around to become a New Age theology. Can you see this? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you start talking along the lines of what this verse is saying, there are a lot of Christians that will tell you, well, you know, you're getting into some of that New Age stuff. Well, what's the Bible say? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, if we go on, verse 2 says, for by it, faith, the elders, or the people of old, obtained a good report. Now, here's what's interesting. This phrase, obtained a good report, comes from a Greek word, martureo. Now, this word martureo, it's an interesting word. It has legal connotations. Have you ever watched those lawyer shows on television? I mean, going back with Perry Mason up to today, whatever, you know, is on there today. You know how when they have the courtroom scenes, they're always looking for somebody that can give a testimony. And if it's hearsay, they won't accept it. But if it's testimony, if it's an eyewitness testimony, then they will accept it as evidence. Well, it says here, by it, the elders, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Or by faith, the elders obtained martyreo. It means a witness or a testimony. In other words, because of what they did in relation to faith, somebody was able to stand up and testify on their behalf. Or another way to say it is, because of what they did, they left a legacy. A legacy that was irrefutable because of what they had done. Another way to say this is, because they acted in faith, something happened that was an absolute proof of what they had done. Now, let me give you an example before we go any further. Let's say that I were to take this water glass and go out here and dump this water out on the carpet and then walk out of the room, get in my car, and go home. Well, after I did that, somebody else would walk in the room that wasn't here. And they would say, hey, how are things going? And you would say, my goodness, you wouldn't believe it. Pastor Martin dumped a whole glass of water on the floor and then walked out the door. And the other person would say, well, are you sure about that? I don't see him anywhere. Well, he left. He's gone now, but he did it. Oh, I don't know. That Pastor Martin, he's a pretty neat guy. I don't think he'd do such a thing. Oh, really? Well, if you'll come with me, I'll walk you up to the place of his testimony, of his martyreo. And you could show somebody the wet spot on the floor and say, do you see? This is the legacy he left behind. Oh, he's not with us now, but this is the legacy he left behind, and this is the proof that he did this. That's the impression or the image that this verse 2 is giving. It's saying these people have done something, and they left an indelible mark that cannot be challenged, and it is the proof that they acted in faith. In the next verse, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, this word worlds, it comes from the Greek word aeon, which means an age or a period of time. It does not mean planets. It does not mean stars. It does not mean the universe. It does not mean this earth. It means an age or a period of time. And so he says here, through faith we understand that the ages or periods of time were framed. This phrase, were framed, gives the image of a person, well, framing something, putting a box around it, or establishing something. For example, let's say that you have a pasture land, and you want to make sure that it's very clear this is your pasture land. So what you do is you go out and you buy a fence, and you put that fence all the way around that pasture land that you own. You could say that you have framed the pasture with the fence, and you have established this pasture as being yours. Here in this verse, it says the worlds or ages of time were framed, or they were set in motion, or they were established by the word of God. So God's word was delivered saying something. Somebody acted upon that word, and in doing so, they established a period of time or set events into motion that established the events of that time. Now, you understand this in just a moment. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, I'm going to, out of the rest of this 11th chapter, I'm only going to pull out four examples to give you. The first one is in verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saying of his to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now think for a moment. Everything's going fine, so to speak. God looks down on earth, and you can read this in, I think it's Genesis chapter 6. God looks down on earth and he says, boy, things are a mess. And he says, you know, everything is wicked. Everybody is just horrible. All they want to do is get involved in evil and violence. And there's only one person down there that is righteous in my eyes. There's only one person down there that really believes me and trusts in me, and his name is Noah. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to establish something special with Noah. He says, Noah. Noah says, yes, Lord. He says, here's what's going on. There is so much evil and wickedness in the world that if I don't do something, everybody's going to kill themselves. So I'm going to kill them for them. But I'm going to start over with you. You're the only person down there that's righteous before me. And I've got to save you. Because if I don't do something to save you, they're going to kill you. And I'll have nothing left. Now, Noah, I'm going to do something that's never been done. I'm going to send rain. And there's going to be a flood. This flood is going to cover the entire earth. And everything that's on the earth is going to die. But you, Noah, and your family, because of you, I'm going to save. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to build an ark. Now, Noah believed God. And if you read Scripture, you're going to find out that nothing like this, it had never rained. Nothing like this had happened. So here's Noah. He spends about 100 years building this ark. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That means that Noah declared what he knew of God, including the fact, you're all a bunch of sinners. God's going to send a flood. You guys better get it right. See, I personally believe, because he was a preacher of righteousness, that Noah spoke what he knew to try and help people see the error of their ways. And still, 100 years he's building this ship. Well, here was, they see this. No floods, no water, no water, no floods. Yeah, sure, Noah, you're just a crazy old man, and this isn't going to happen. It's the same thing today. Yeah, sure, they've been saying Jesus is going to come for all these years, and nothing's happened. You Christians are a bunch of crazy fanatics. Well, one day the clouds opened, and the rain came. And it says that the fountains of the earth, the deep, broke open. And the flood came. And everything was destroyed. All the life on the earth was destroyed, except for Noah and his family and the animals that they had on the ark. Now, I ask you something. Did Noah change the course of history by that flood? Well, by being obedient to God's word, what it was. Did he change the course of history? The evidence of this is on the face of this planet even this day. I shared how that we went out to California this past summer for vacation. And as we were flying over the Rockies, you would have to be an absolute nut. I am not a scientist, okay? But I've been around places where I have seen water damage, where I have seen runoff, where I have seen like at construction sites where the water, digs these crevices that are about, 18, 24, 3 feet deep because of the runoff from heavy rains or whatever. When you are flying over the Rocky Mountains, you can see it. You can see where the water has run off and created all of these valleys and so forth. It is so obvious what has happened. Because over the Rockies, it's not like the Appalachians where they have the trees so that you can't actually see the terrain. All you see are the trees. The Rockies, it's above the tree line and you can see what has happened. It is obvious that there has been a massive destruction take place as a result of water runoff. Well, the earth itself is a testimony to what Noah did. It is, the evidence is completely out there. And so Noah, because he trusted God, he builds the ark, and we today are living testimonies of the fact of what happened. Because all of us, yes, we're descendants of Adam, but you do understand that we can trace our heritage back to Noah as well. Because everybody else died but Noah and his family. So we can trace our heritage back to Noah. We're the living testimony of the fact that he took God at his word and did what God told him to do. So Noah framed his generation or his age, his period of time on earth by the word of God when God told him what to do. Now look down in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. I ask you, did Abraham change the course of history by obeying the word of God? Well, you better believe he did. Did he change the course of his generation? Absolutely. Because of his obedience, the nation of Israel was brought forth into existence. Abraham changed his age or his period of time, or he framed his world by obeying the word of God. Now turn over to verse 23. And we won't read all of this about Moses, but it just says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, etc. and so forth. And it goes on and it begins talking about all these things that Moses did, including, you know, being in Egypt, and I mean all the things that happened. I ask you, did Moses change the course of history? Did Moses change the very age in which he lived because he acted upon God's word? The burning bush. Moses, this is what I want you to do. And Moses eventually says, okay, I'll go do it. And because he went and did it, Israel was released from Egypt. Egypt was literally decimated as a world power. I mean, it completely changed the face of that period of time in history. All because one man, Moses, acted upon the word of God. And I'll show you one more. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Did the children of Israel change the course of history in the age which they lived by obeying God when he told them what to do at Jericho? If they didn't get past Jericho, they weren't entering further into the promised land. Bottom line, because Jericho was right there at the entrance, so to speak. So this was something that they had to deal with, and God said, do it. And after they did it, we know what happened. The testimony of what happened at Jericho went forth. In fact, the testimony of Egypt had reached the ears of Jericho, and then after that, it was the testimony of Egypt and Jericho that reached the ears of the enemies of Israel. And so here's Joshua. He acted upon the word of God and believed God, and he turns around and he tells the entire nation of Israel, this is what God has told me to do. We're to march the first day, the second day, the seventh day, 7 times. Walls come down, we go in. Don't say a word, you know, until the time comes when I let you know to shout and the trumpets and all that. And then we can make our sounds and so forth. God told him to do something that made no sense in the natural. God told Moses to do something that made no sense in the natural. So you've got to understand, for Moses to have done what he did, to go marching back in there to Pharaoh's court, in his mind, I'm sure more than once he thought certain death. I'm sure that thought flashed through his mind, but he obeyed God. Same thing with Noah. You know, there's never been like anything like this has ever happened, but God said do it, so I'm going to build this big boat, and man, I tell you, I don't know. And how would you have been faithful to that over 100 years? You haven't, none of us in here have lived 100 years. It took him 100 years just to build the ark. Now think about this. And every day he wakes up and goes out and keeps building. And every night he goes to bed thinking about what he has to work on tomorrow. But God said, but God said, but God said. And so he acted upon that and changed the course of history. Now when it comes to us, turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 10. When it comes to us, let's ask ourselves a question. If what we just read was true for all of those people, would it still be true for us today? Because when you go through the rest of the book of Hebrews, or chapter 11, that's why all of that is in there. It's a type of encouragement to us today to believe that we can do the same thing they did. Now think about your world right now. Do you honestly believe that you can change the circumstances of your life with the Word of God? Do you believe it or not? Well, first off, I can prove that at least in part, you do believe it because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you did not believe the Word of God could change your circumstances concerning your spiritual condition and where you would spend eternity, you would never have prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So therefore, you do believe, at least in part, that the Word of God can frame your own personal world, can change the circumstances of your own life. But now we need to take it a step further. If we truly believe that the Word of God can change our inner man or change our spiritual condition, then why in the world should we not believe that the Word of God can change our natural conditions? Why should we believe anything other than that? If we believe that the Word of God is powerful enough to change our eternal destiny, heaven or hell, then why would we not believe that the Word of God is powerful enough to change our temporary circumstances? What's going on in this life? Well, one of the reasons many people struggle with this concept is because the whole aspect of a spiritual existence is a hard thing to grasp with the natural mind. We believe it by faith, but we've never seen it, and we've never touched it, and we've never played in it. You know what I'm saying? The whole aspect of a spiritual world to the natural mind is a hard thing to grasp. That's why we have to believe it by faith. To see things change in the natural, all too often, we believe that we have to physically do something to cause the change. People have a hard time believing that you can take God's word, God's promises, apply them to your life, and by simply applying words to your life, you can change your circumstances. Well, here's the problem. When people get desperate, they'll do just about anything. But how many of you know that when the engine blows, it's a little too late to be adding oil? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people wait until disaster is literally upon them before they try to do anything to change the circumstances. Well, by then, it's too late. Now, it doesn't mean things can't change from that point, but it's different to speak God's word concerning your body before you need healing than it is after you need healing. And a lot of folks wait until after they're in a terrible shape physically before they'll... Okay, there are some people that they'll wait until they have a death sentence from the doctor. You're going to die. A few months, a year, whatever. Then all of a sudden they decide to get serious. Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible, what we just read over there in Hebrews, says by faith the worlds were framed. Therefore, it takes faith to change the circumstances of your life, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, if we wait until we're 6 inches from disaster to try to change everything with the Word of God, the Bible says faith framed the worlds, the ages, the periods of time. It's the Word of God that causes the faith to come. So what we have to do is prepare the faith ahead of time, and the way we do that is with the Word. When you wait until the last minute to try to change a desperate situation and you're using the Word of God, I mean, at least you're trying. At least you're doing that much. But the Word of God is causing faith to come, and faith is the thing that's going to change the circumstances. So if you wait too late, then quite frankly, you may never be able to develop enough faith and time to change this desperate situation before it really creates permanent havoc in your life. This is one reason why that a lot of Christians don't put a whole lot of stock in this faith and confession thing. I mean, you know, Aunt Junie was taken to the hospital. The doctor said she had 3 months to live. And I want you to know we spoke the Word of God over her and nothing changed and she died. So don't you come to me with that faith and confession stuff. Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and faith frames the world. So if I'm waiting until I've only got 3 months to save Aunt Junie, it's very possible I may not be able to get enough Word in me to produce enough faith in me to release that faith out of me to change that situation. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why... See, I know that we have taken, and we're going to do this again here tonight. We're going to take some time to confess the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God, faith comes. One of the things that faith will do is cause us to believe, over time now it happens, will get us to the point of believing that when we speak the Word of God, the Word of God will produce. Because a lot of Christians will speak the Word of God, but they don't believe it's going to do anything for them. To them, it's just a silly little exercise that the preacher has you do, and it's really not going to change anything. Well, the Bible tells us that the only way the Word of God is going to have any effect in your life is if it's mixed with faith. See? And so, if the Word of God is mixed with faith, and then we're releasing the Word of God, then what we're doing is we're releasing the very thing that's going to change the circumstances that we're facing. Because you can stand around and you can say, okay, well, in Jesus' name this, in Jesus' name this, in Jesus' name this, and on the inside, you don't believe it at all. You have absolutely no faith in the Word of God. But when you come to the point of believing, faith comes by hearing, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What did Jesus say? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you had faith, you could move the mountain. If you have faith, you know, you can say, and it's going to happen, and on it goes. Okay, all right. I believe that, Lord, but I also, you know, I'm like that one guy in the Bible. I believe, help me with my unbelief. But you said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Because that's going to cause faith to come. So I will do this. And the whole time I do this, I am believing that the faith which is coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God becomes the substance that changes my circumstances. So, even though, Father, as you look at me right now, my faith may not be to the point necessary to change these things, I'm going to do this because you said it works. Therefore, I can expect results. Maybe not instantly, but I know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and faith will change these circumstances. Now, bottom line is this, it either works or it doesn't work. Right? It either works or it doesn't work. It would be like going into a health club, lifting weights for one day, and then entering a contest, a bodybuilding contest. It doesn't work. It would be like going out and for the first day of your life, jogging around the block, and next week entering a marathon. It doesn't work. Well, just like in the natural, you have to develop yourself to be able to do the task before you. It's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. And too many people have, see, this is why there are a whole lot of Christians that just keep coming up in prayer lines. It's because they're expecting an instantaneous result when they have done nothing to lay the groundwork for that result previously. In other words, they've reached the point where, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, what am I going to do? I need help. Would you please pray? Well, yeah, I'll pray. But you know what? In those situations, many times the results come about because of the faith of the person doing the praying, not the faith of the person who's come up for the prayer. Now, what does that mean for us? All right? I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but I want you to look around this room. Just look around. Now, the people that aren't here tonight, that could be here, we're going to make a very bold assumption that every single one of them have an excellent reason for not being here. But do you remember a few weeks ago when I announced on a Sunday that I was going to teach on prosperity on a Wednesday night? On the next Wednesday night, I'm going to be teaching on prosperity. And I'm going to show you what works. I'm going to show you what's going to change. It's guaranteed. Do you know this place was, I mean, there were a lot of people here. A lot of people. Well, my question is this. If the people that aren't here tonight, that were here that night, don't have a really, really good reason for not being here tonight, then where are they? That's because I announced that I was going to explain something that would help them financially. Two things that Christians want help in, that want more of: health and money. And especially money. They were here to hear something. Now again, we're making a bold assumption that the people that aren't here, that could be here, that were here that night, have excellent reasons for not being here tonight. But just in case they don't, then we could rightly guess that it's possible, not definite, but possible, that they have not been applying what they heard that night. Because if they were, then faith would be coming. And I'm telling you now, one of the things that faith produces is hunger for more word. Absolutely guarantee you that. See, that's one way of knowing. People say, well, I'm living by faith. Well, I mean, you know, do you attend church? I mean, blah, blah, blah. And if the answers are no, well, I just, no, you're not living by faith. Because one thing word-produced faith will produce is hunger for more word. So tonight, we are going to do what we did the other night. We're going to intercede in the area of finances. This is a really good time of the year to do this. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I am not promising you a quick fix. But what I'm saying is, see, here's it's very possible that in the time to come, and I don't even know what that means, we may have more and more services like this, where we spend speaking the Word of God. You know why? It's because I know that most of the people here aren't doing anything like that. How do you know that? Because circumstances aren't changing. And God's Word can't fail. God's Word cannot fail. So when we speak the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if anybody, it doesn't matter if this church or any church, if anyone sees, oh, all they did was confess and speak the Word of God. If the attitude is, well, I mean, you know, I want to be there when there's good teaching and good preaching and this and that. You know, all they're doing is, that's just like saying, well, you know, all they're going to do is pray. All they're going to do is spend the whole service worshiping. You know, I mean, I've got laundry to do. It'd be different if there was going to be some preaching. These kinds of attitudes demonstrate where a person's walking in their relationship with the Lord. Guys, you see, you need to understand something. When it comes to the impact, the services that make an impact on a person's life, the most important services are when we speak the Word of God, when we pray, when we worship. Because those are the services when everybody's getting involved. When I'm preaching and teaching, all I'm doing is giving you information. And then we have a responsibility to apply the information that we learn. But when we take the time to collectively speak the Word of God and collectively to worship, to spend the time worshiping, and collectively to just sit and pray, that's when collectively we are involved and every single individual here is doing something that is impacting them in the realm of the Spirit. And even if it's only a smidgen of an ounce of change, they will have changed that much when they walk out the door. Something will have happened on the inside of them because they did it. And what amazes me is, I mean, you know, and I'm guilty of this too. I look back over my life and I see the way that I was, the way I perceived things. The amazing thing is how that there are so many Christians that are expecting change, but they never do anything to affect the change. Never. They're waiting for God to move, but they never apply the things to their lives that opens the door for God to move. Well, tonight we're going to do something that's going to produce something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're going to speak the Word of God. We're going to speak the will of God tonight concerning our finances. And faith is going to come as we do this. Now, don't look for goosey bump feelings. I don't know of anybody that's got goosebump feelings just from, I mean, maybe it's happened. But faith is going to come. Change is going to take place tonight. And tonight, these confessions, quite frankly, tonight could be the breakthrough for somebody in the area of your finances. By the time we're finished here tonight, this could be, you know how it is, gosh, I don't know what's even a good example here, but if you're building a brick wall, you get it all finished and there's just one brick left, and you put that last brick and then you're done. I mean, you can tell everybody in the world you've got a brick wall, but if there's one brick missing, they'll say, well, there's a brick missing up there. Well, you put that last brick up there, now you have a wall. Tonight could be the last brick for some people. Tonight could represent a breakthrough to a new level as far as what's happening in their lives financially. And here's the thing about it. When you talk about finances, it's amazing how many Christians would rather complain than do something. It's amazing how many Christians would... Now, I'll let you in on a secret. If you want, a secret? I've taught on this before. We've done it before. And yet people are still complaining. And people might only be one person. But people are still complaining. They don't know what to do in the area of their finances. I don't know what else I can say. I really don't. This is the answer. See, this is the answer for me, for everybody. It works for everyone. So, are you ready for some change? Praise God. All right. I'll just hustle over here. And, oops, wait a minute. Before I hustle, I'm going to get my water. Praise God. Okay. Let's commence to changing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I, through your poverty, might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward me, and I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I ask for and receive your wisdom in the area of my finances. I operate in your wisdom concerning my finances. The enemy's weapon of poverty and lack will not succeed in my life. I do not give heed to the lies of the enemy that would deceive me into buying what I shouldn't buy, overusing credit, and not giving as I should give. I condemn those lies and call them ineffective in my life. All of my money and material things are under the lordship of Jesus. I am the Lord's faithful steward and use my money according to His will for the glory of His kingdom. I am prosperous and giving. I am obedient to the Lord and purpose in my heart to give in every service what I am supposed to give. I do not hold back. Exceeding abundance, multiplied thousands of dollars, comes into Grace Ministries every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. There is no lack in this ministry. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I, through your poverty, might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward me, and I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I ask for and receive your wisdom in the area of my finances. I operate in your wisdom concerning my finances. The enemy's weapon of poverty and lack will not succeed in my life. I do not give heed to the lies of the enemy that would deceive me into buying what I shouldn't buy, overusing credit, and not giving as I should give. I condemn those lies and call them ineffective in my life. All of my money and material things are under the Lordship of Jesus. I am the Lord's faithful steward and use my money according to His will for the glory of His kingdom. I am prosperous and giving. I am obedient to the Lord and purpose in my heart to give in every service what I am supposed to give. I do not hold back. Exceeding abundance, multiplied thousands of dollars, comes into Grace Ministries every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. There is no lack in this ministry. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, it shall be given him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I, through your poverty, might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward me, and I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I ask for and receive your wisdom in the area of my finances. I operate in your wisdom concerning my finances. The enemy's weapon of poverty and lack will not succeed in my life. I do not give heed to the lies of the enemy that would deceive me into buying what I shouldn't buy, overusing credit, and not giving as I should give. I condemn those lies and call them ineffective in my life. All of my money and material things are under the Lordship of Jesus. I am the Lord's faithful steward and use my money according to His will for the glory of His kingdom. I am prosperous and giving. I am obedient to the Lord and purpose in my heart. Exceeding abundance, multiplied thousands of dollars, comes into Grace Ministries every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishing, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. There is no lack in this ministry. Praise God, and there's no lack in your life either. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now see, here's the thing about it. The more that you begin to speak like this, and as I've shared before, you can come up with your own variations, you can add verses, I mean, whatever. This is just an example, but it's a good one. The more that you do this, I don't know how to express it to you. I'll do my best. The more that you do these kinds of things, whether it's for finances or anything else in life, as it lines up with the Word of God, His plan for you, etc. The more that you do this, it's almost as though on the inside, you begin, it's like you can see something happening. I'll use the word vision, but the word vision might be a little misleading because I don't want you to think that all of a sudden you're going to like see a picture of something on the inside. It can be like that. I mean, you literally can, God can help you to see what He's seeing as far as what's coming in the future. You can have a vision of the future because God's Word will begin to produce in you what He sees as opposed to what you're perceiving in your natural circumstances. And you will begin to capture the reality of this. You get to the point to where you begin to see it doesn't matter how much money is in the bank now, God's Word can change this whole thing and the money is going to come in somehow, some way. You stop thinking about where's it going to come from. You just know it's going to come. You know it's going to be there. You can't explain it. And when you talk to other people about it this way, they think you're goofy. You know, well, God's told me to do such and such. Well, where are you going to get the money? Well, I don't know. Well, you got to have money to do it. Well, I know you have to, but I know the money's coming in. Well, where's it coming from? Well, I don't know. Well, then how do you know it's coming? God's Word. Wait, you see what I'm saying? We are standing in a building God's Word produced. Well, you're sitting, I'm standing. We're in a building that God's Word produced. Praise God for this. Now, I'm telling you, for every single one of you, what we did tonight, faith came. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith came. You may not feel it, but faith came. And as you know, you build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Faith came tonight. Faith came tonight. If you are facing a rock of Gibraltar of financial problems, tonight we chipped away at that rock. I don't know how much we chipped away in each of your lives, but tonight we chipped away at that rock. And if we keep doing this, no matter what you're facing, you may not even be facing a financial problem. You may be fine financially and have all kinds of money. Well, you can get all kinds more, praise the Lord, and be able to do a lot of things that you want to do, that God wants you to do. This isn't just for people that are having financial lack. This is for the body of Christ. Look, the money needs to be coming into the body of Christ, not into the world of the sinners. I mean, I don't want anybody to be destitute living on the streets. You understand what I'm saying? But the money doesn't need to be there to support the pornography industry and the drug trade and all these other kinds of things. The money doesn't need to be there to keep all the bars and lounges open and all of that. I mean, those people need to get born again. They need Jesus in their lives. But the money needs to be used to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't ever believe that there is a limit to how much money is available. There is no limit. Everything has value based upon the value people perceive. You know, just think about that. Your house is only worth what people are willing to give you for it. Somebody walks up and says they'll give you $1 million for your $10,000 house. Are you going to take it? Guaranteed. There is no limit. There is no limit with God. There is no limit. The world may say there are limits. There aren't limits. There aren't limits. The stock that today is $25 or $15 or $10, 4 months from now, it'll be $350. There are no limits. Anything can happen. God's Word will change it. God's Word starts by changing you, and then it changes the circumstances. Tonight, things changed. For every person here, things changed to some degree. Every person who will listen to this tape and follow along and say these things, things will change. We made copies of these confessions, made them available to people. It's still there. If you want copies, we can, again, you know, it's available. What I'm trying to get at is, this is one of the most valuable things that we can do as a congregation. Whether we're confessing for finances or health or revival or whatever it would be, this is one of the most valuable things that any church can do to see the power of God released and to see the will of God accomplished. And tonight, we saw a little bit more. Praise the Lord. We saw more, at least in the realm of the Spirit. It happened because we released the Word of God and changes took place tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Don't give up. Don't let the devil tell you this is a waste of time, that this is an empty exercise, an exercise in futility. It's not. It's the Word of God. Faith came tonight. Praise God.